Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kyorkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. The NFL playoffs have officially started and the wild card round is officially over. So that means that, we have a lot of cool things to talk about for the future. For the divisional round, we get to talk to you about what happened in the wild card round. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to go over the wild card games, basically in order of when they happened and what happened in them. We're going to kind of analyze the teams that are remaining, why teams lost, why teams won, and then talk about what we think is going to happen next week in the divisional round. That's all we're going to do today. Hopefully, it's going to be a shorter episode, but still a very important one as, a lot of good teams are still in the playoffs and a lot of surprising things can still happen. So I'm definitely super pumped for this one. You ready, Alex?
Oh, I'm so ready. Let's go.
Awesome. First game, Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. And this one, at first, I was like, whoa, because halfway through the game at halftime, if you check the score, Seahawks are up 17 to 16. And that was like, wow, that's a little crazy because, the Niners are four games in front of the Seahawks in the regular season. The Niners are one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams in the NFC. And so to be losing by a point at halftime is a little surprising, but in Niners fashion, they completely took over the game, won 41 to 23. And yeah, I mean, they took over the second half, outscoring the Seahawks 25 to 6. So that's pretty much the story of the game. The Niners in the second half basically winning the game. Now, when it comes to the Niners, a lot of people are talking about Brock Purdy in this game. He had 332 passing yards, three touchdowns, also had a rushing touchdown. The thing is, if you actually watch the game, you would know that he didn't really play up to what his stats show.
I
He had
disagree.
some great plays, some great throws. He did his job for a seventh round pick to be doing what he's doing. It's very impressive. But at the same time, he was missing some throws. He looked pretty off in the first quarter and in, the second quarter too, a little bit. And he had one really lucky play, that one throw to Juwan Jennings. The Seahawks were not playing the correct coverage. You are not getting that. And that is not going to be a completion in a normal game against, some of these better defenses. So that's just something I wanted to point out, that Brock Purdy, while he had a good game, did not have a great game. And I think that it's a little, people are over exaggerating a little bit how good of a game he had. He really wasn't that fantastic. But Debo had a good game, McCaffrey had a good game, and the defense, I mean, held Seattle to 6 points in the second half. So, yeah.
Yeah, this game was crazy because I had some hope in the beginning. I was like, yo, Seattle might actually pull something off here because obviously I'm rooting for the Niners to get eliminated because they're the only real competition to the Eagles in the NFC, in my opinion. But I think with every passing week, the big takeaway from the Niners is that Brock Purdy is a baller. Yeah, he kind of came out a little shaken up in the first half, but once he settled in, for his first playoff appearance, my man was on fire. You could just tell that he's not going to be the most spectacular quarterback out there. He's not going to be running around and throwing the ball 80 yards downfield like Josh Allen, but my man just knows how to play quarterback. You could see him progressing through his reads on every down and eventually making the right read. He knows how to throw it away. He knows how to extend the play a little bit. His pocket work is pretty awesome. The dude is just a quarterback. I don't know that he'll be starting for the Niners next year. I think that'll be one of the biggest stories of the offseason. Like, we know Jimmy's gone, but I don't know that it's as cut and dry as everyone thinks it is about Lance versus Purdy. Right now, I think that if I'm the Niners, it's tough to call it. But if I had to make a guess at what the Niners will do right now on this day, January 20th, I think that they'll still lean with Lance and give him one more shot just because of the draft capital they put into him. But I think he'll be on a short leash and eventually that Purdy may become the starter again.
Yeah, I think as of right now, assuming that the Niners won't win the Super Bowl, I think Lance starts the season next season. But if he has a bad game or two, I think Purdy's right back in as the starter. So,
I'm with you.
yeah.
But that
But if they
Niners
win the
team.
Super Bowl, I think it's very likely that, Purdy is the guy. I don't know. I mean, I know that's weird to say, but Super Bowls are big, pretty big deals.
Yeah.
And on a rookie contract, very small contract, you could do a lot with Brock Purdy at quarterback. So,
That Niners team is just crazy. The second half Niners. So, I mean, we're talking third quarter Warriors at this point.
Yeah. You know, they definitely played great in the third quarter, but you know, things didn't look great in the first half. If they kept playing the way they did in the first half and let Seattle drive down the field like they were, Seattle could have easily won that game. So it was a fun one to watch. It definitely was. Good first playoff game.
And hold on, don't get me wrong about Purdy. He is a great player. I don't know about great, but you know what I said earlier. But also, he's in the absolute perfect situation you can come up with. Shanahan is making it easy on him, and he has all the weapons in the world to succeed. And he's doing just that. So that's my take on Purdy. I don't know what the future holds for him or the Niners. Maybe they'll still implode. Who knows? But yeah, it was a pretty interesting game, even though it kind of got boring in the second half with all the blowouts.
Yeah, you kind of knew what was that the Niners were going to win at a certain
Speaking
point.
of blowouts, almost the next game that happened was kind of a weird one.
Kind of.
Yeah, we saw the Chargers jump out to a 27-0 lead towards the end of the first half against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which only happened because of a, what was it, 4 or 5 turnover game half.
Yeah, I th was
Trevor
it
threw
five?
what? Trevor threw
Lawrence
what?
threw
Four.
four. That's all
And
I
then
know. Lawrence threw.
there was a punt muff too.
Yeah, that is right.
So 5. And they, speaking of 5 turnovers, they only managed 27 points in the first half. And then also fumbled the first half by letting them get a touchdown at the end after they also get ball at half. It's just an awful game by the Chargers. And I think truthfully, it was a fluke. I think in a normal game between these two teams, the Jags win handily. It took 5 turnovers in the half to make it a close game. And the Jaguars still won. So I think that the Chargers just kind of got outclassed, which is funny to say when they had 5 turnovers as a team. But the play calling was just abysmal in the second half of the Chargers. How are you going to be up 20 plus points and then just not run the ball?
Well, they can't run the ball. They tried to. I think I looked at a stat. They ran the ball, I think it was 8 times in the second half for
That's
negative 3 yards.
not
For negative 3 yards.
enough. I don't care.
I'm
Running
just
the
like,
ball keeps the clock moving.
I know, but they don't have the offense to run the ball. And I agree with you. Joe Lombardi just got fired,
Yeah,
offensive coordinator.
rightfully he got canned.
He got fired because of this awful performance. And frankly, all year it's been a problem. Justin Herbert, in my opinion, I know you may have differing thoughts, Alex, is one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen play in the
I
NFL.
don't know about all
He's one
that.
of the most talented. I'm not saying he's the most. He's one of the most talented I've ever seen play.
I thought you
Not
were going to
saying he's
say
the
in the
best.
league right now, and I would have been
No.
like, that's a valid take.
Ever. He's one of the most talented ever that I've seen play. And I think he has potential to be a top three quarterback in the league. Now, is he a
Sure.
top three quarterback right now? Probably not. I think he's five. For me, five or six is probably where he should stand. But the play calling, the offense, the scheme is holding him back. And I'm tired of it because this should have been a Justin Herbert and Chargers win. And frankly, it was just upsetting. I mean, I was really happy for Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, incredible performance to throw four picks, to have awful decision making in the beginning of the game, and then to come back and just be perfect in the second half to throw four touchdowns and 280 something yards. Like, that was impressive. Doug Peterson's play call on that 4th and 1, that deserves props. That ETN run was incredible. Nobody saw it coming. And frankly, it got them right in, field goal range. Perfect, easy field goal. So the Jaguars were in for blood and they got it. They barely advanced, but they advanced. And this is the type of momentum that we could see really cause, some danger in the playoffs. We could see the Jaguars take what they did in this game and, bring it over to the Chiefs. And this could be tough for the Chiefs because the Jaguars have been hot for the last 5 weeks, and I can't see them, fizzling out anytime soon. So I'm excited to talk about that one.
I've said it for the last couple weeks. I'd watch out for a Jaguars upset here.
I don't. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's going to
Neither
happen,
do I.
but
Let me
we're going to
establish.
talk about
Neither
that
do
in a
I.
little bit. But
But
speaking of upsets though, I mean, we had so many potential upsets probably the craziest one was seeing the Dolphins come within 3 points of the Buffalo Bills. And this one was wild because I actually didn't get to watch this one. I was on a plane while most of this game was going on. So, you know, as I left, the Bills were up 17-0. And I thought, okay, the Bills are going to win. You know, I watched the beginning. I was like, the Bills look really good. Miami doesn't. 17-0. Bills are probably going to win by 30. Get off the plane, check the score. The Dolphins are up 24-20. What happened? I figured out what happened, but still, crazy, crazy game. And what really came down to it was the Bills offense turnovers. Miami defense played fantastic for parts of this game. And Skylar Thompson didn't play great. The offense of the Dolphins didn't play great. But like I said, when there's turnover heavy football, anything could happen. And the Dolphins were capitalizing off of it. Josh Allen, two picks, a fumble. That fumble got returned for a touchdown. And the Dolphins really wanted to win this game. One reason why the Bills ended up winning this game was because Josh Allen aired the ball out a lot. He had 13 passes over 20 yards in this game, which is crazy. Some of those passes didn't end up being great. Obviously, Josh Allen didn't have the best game, but airing it out, Ken Dorsey being aggressive, turned out to be in favor for the Bills. They ended up scoring two touchdowns in 3 minutes, and that's really what won them this game. So I do think Bills have some question marks going forward, especially with all the turnovers and the sloppy play. They should have won this one by a lot more, but I do think that the score is, it's a little misleading. You know, this was a close game, but I don't think that the Bills were playing too bad, and I don't think this should be too much of an issue going forward, and I don't expect them to make the same mistakes against the Bengals or the Chiefs if they play them the next week, or even the Jaguars. I think the Bills are going to play better football moving forward, so that's really all I have to say about that.
What I have to say is that I feel vindicated by this game. When we did our ranking the playoff teams last week, you put the Bills at number one, where we had that grouping with the top five. I put them at five, as in the bottom of the grouping of the real contenders. Why did I do that? Because of inconsistent play and sloppy play. What did the Bills do in their first wildcard game against the team that should not have even been in the playoffs with their third string random seventh round QB? They almost completely blew the game through sloppy turnovers and inconsistent play, both offensively and defensively. This is a Dolphins team that put up, what was it, 9 points? Their last week of the season?
They put up 11 points, but nine that were offensive.
Yeah, nine offensive points with Skylar Thompson. And you give up 30? I just don't think that the Bills are as much of a real contender as we may have originally thought. They have the issue of they rarely put it together, and I just don't know that they will put it together. They have this big emotional game coming up this week against the Bengals, you know, because of what happened last time. It's going to be even crazier. And I mean, spoiler, I have them winning that game for other reasons, but I think that they're done after this round.
Interesting.
I just don't see them playing like a real contender. You almost lose to the 9-8 Dolphins with Skylar Thompson.
It's pretty.
What happens when you play the 13-3 Chiefs with Mahomes?
I get what you're saying, but the crazy thing is that like we have such different takes on the Bills. Yet I think you have them advancing further than I do.
You got them losing this week. Okay.
I hate that we're spoiling all this. We really shouldn't be. But yeah, I do have them losing this week. But I just want to say the Bills had 200 more total yards than the Dolphins. It really came down to these turnovers and the sloppy play. And that's not super normal for the Bills. We don't see them do this too often. They are inconsistent a lot, but normally it's not due to Josh Allen turnovers. I don't expect it to carry over to next week, but who knows? I could be wrong. And yeah, they do look a lot worse than I thought they would. So to your credit, your take is looking good right now. Moving on to the next game, though, we have the Giants versus the Vikings. So many analysts and experts called the Giants winning this one. And I did, too, even though despite my judgment, I knew I was like, oh, this is an iffy pick. I might be wrong here. I might look like a fool taking the Giants over the 13-4 Vikings. I still did it. And I knew it. 31-24, the Giants won. And it wasn't really like I mean, it was a close game, but the Giants looked like the better team. We already saw them play each other. I already knew it was going to be close, but the Giants kind of, they game planned for the Vikings. They knew what was coming, and they exploited the things that needed to be exploited. Number one, the Vikings defense. Vikings defense, as we talked about, is one of the worst in the league. Going into the playoffs, it's probably the worst defense in the playoffs right now, at least in the playoffs overall. And the Giants, I mean, they went all over the Vikings defense. Daniel Jones had probably the best game of his career. 300 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 78 rushing yards as well. Daniel Jones was just everywhere. He was making plays happen. He was extending plays. Saquon Barkley had 2 touchdowns on the ground. Isaiah Hodgins is a guy who, I mean, is kind of doing what Kenny Golladay was supposed to be doing. 8 catches, 105 yards, a touchdown. The only person who really had a great game on the Vikings was TJ Hockenson. And even then, it was just short dump-offs by Kirk Cousins because he really couldn't extend the field. The Giants' defense was everywhere. In coverage, you know, Dexter Lawrence was getting to the quarterback. I didn't get to watch this game as much as I would have wanted to, but looking at the stats, reading, you know, each individual play and what analysts had to say about it. And, you know, when it comes down to it, the Giants really performed well. And as an Eagles fan, I'm a little nervous, but not too nervous, just a little nervous. And yeah, but I knew the Giants would win and I'm happy they did. The Vikings were not a 13-4 team, really. They did not play like it at all.
No, I agree. To me, this game was a coin flip the whole way through. These are two teams who have thrived off one possession games all season, but with two different conflicting styles. The Vikings would win shootouts, the Giants would win these gritty games, and the gritty team is usually going to win the shootout in this scenario because the Vikings defense is so bad. The Giants can just run on them the whole game and kill the clock and not have time to score like that. So I'm starting a new agenda. I have talked about Devontae Adams to the Giants. I have probably mentioned T. Higgins to the Giants. Those are dead to me because I think the Raiders will get Tom Brady and the Bengals will re-sign both the receivers. The new agenda is Hopkins to the Giants.
Boom. Bingo.
Watch that one.
That is actually realistic. That actually could happen. Unlike the other one.
And then they'll become real contenders. Yeah, like you said, I'm a little worried about the Giants, at least more so than I was before the game. But then I just remember what happened a few weeks ago. Even though they were missing a few starters, Gardner Minshew played a whole quarter. That's all you need to know. But yeah, the Vikings Cinderella story just ran out of magic. You can't just keep winning all those one possession games. It's not sustainable, which is what I was saying the whole way through. And eventually they were bound to lose one. And it sucks for them that it happened in the playoffs, in the first playoff game. But I don't know that anyone is really surprised about it.
I just want to give props to Kevin O'Connell for a great first year, though. The Vikings probably outplayed even what I thought they would do. I had them as the second seed, but still, like, they played better than I thought they would, honestly, which is a little surprising because I was high on them. Just defensively, they need to fix a lot of things. And I think that they could definitely be a contender if they do fix those defensive things. But the window is closing on that. I think that they have a good offense, but they really need to start getting things together within the next year or two if they want to win a Super Bowl. So that's really what I have to say.
Do you think they go quarterback this year?
No.
Mm-mm. No Anthony Richardson?
No, they do not go quarterback. Kirk Cousins is going to be the starter in Minnesota for the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, that's why I'm saying Anthony Richardson.
I don't think that they're going to try to go for a guy like Anthony Richardson and try to develop him behind Cousins. I think they'll wait another year or two before they even think about getting a quarterback. I don't think fans would be happy if they got one. It's just that type of thing.
I like
that. They have too many needs defensively to even think about getting a quarterback at this point.
And they did just fire their defensive coordinator. Very much justified. Very much justified. Just like Joe Lombardi.
Yeah.
But then we move on to the last game of that day, which was another divisional game, just like the Bills and Dolphins, just like Seattle and the Niners. We had the Ravens at the Bengals. And this game was a lot closer than I thought. Tyler Huntley just became good all of a sudden again after not being good all year. And, but just like we talked about, on this podcast before, the Ravens are just outgunned by pretty much every team in the league. And they try to put these slow games through and win 17-10, but that was just not happening against the Bengals. Granted, the Bengals offense only put up 17 points, I believe. And the play calling really is what killed the Ravens. You go for a QB jump, I don't know, QB sneak type of deal where Tyler Huntley tried to go high when he shouldn't have and ultimately got the ball stripped away from him and returned for a touchdown at the goal line, which ultimately is a 14-point play for the Bengals. And that was the one that really killed them. And their clock management was bad in the end. They just refused to call timeouts. I don't know what was going on with the Ravens. This was a very winnable game for them, and they just didn't.
Yeah, so the Ravens played a better game than the Bengals did.
Yeah.
As crazy as it is, the Bengals are the better team. Obviously, Lamar's out. The Ravens have injuries all over. The Ravens just are one of the worst playoff teams. We've talked about this. But they were ready. Harbaugh is a great coach, and they really played the correct game plan. In fact, if, you know, Tyler Huntley did make it over into the end zone, the Ravens would have won the game. And obviously, if Lamar Jackson played, the Ravens would have won the game. So I think that this one is the closest game, and probably the Bengals probably played the worst out of any team, you know, any good team, at least in this wild card weekend. You know, they really only won because of that Sam Hubbard touchdown. You really can't expect a 98-yard touchdown like that and 14-point flip in any game. So definitely got a break there. It's also just funny to me that the Ravens have made the playoffs now. Well, they've been in the playoffs. They weren't in it last year, but in 2020, they were also in the playoffs. And a very similar thing happened with the Bills. The Ravens had a decent chance to win, and Lamar threw a pick six, 14-point flip, and they lost because of that. So it's just kind of funny. The Ravens, you know, they try to tough it out and try to win these close games, but turnovers, big turnovers, are what's keeping them from getting further in the playoffs. And yeah, I think Lamar would have won this game, as I said. That being said, though, I've talked about this. The Bengals play down to their opponents. The defense was letting Huntley and the whole offense just kind of march down the field at ease. And it just was not the best performance from Zach Taylor or the Bengals. The offense wasn't great at moving the ball. Ja'Marr Chase had a good game, but on the ground, they were horrible. The Ravens defense was stuffing them to, you know, far under 4 yards per carry. So when it comes down to it, the Bengals, are they in trouble? No, they're not in trouble. Like I said, they play down to their opponents. I think in Buffalo, not in, are they in Buffalo? Where are they? They're playing Buffalo, but I don't know if that.
I believe they are in Buffalo.
Yeah, they would be in Buffalo because Buffalo's still the higher seed. I think in Buffalo, they will play much better. I know that, you know, that's an assumption, but still, I think they'll play much better. So I'm not too worried about them. But that being said, I think the Bengals played the worst game out of any of the winners in this wild card. And yeah, I was frankly a little surprised. I thought it was going to be a much, you know, easier game for them, but they made it hard for themselves.
The big story out of this game is the Ravens' future. I don't know that Lamar is back next year. He was hurt, obviously, this game. Mm-hmm. I think that even though I said we're not sure how hurt he is before, it's come out that he is pretty severely hurt, which it's reasonable. I still think he should have traveled with the team. I think it's ridiculous not to go with them, even if you are hurt. But I don't know that he's back. That relationship seems like it's souring. Granted, Harbaugh has said that Lamar will have an input on who the next coordinator is because they fired Greg Roman finally because
for good reason. Yeah,
his system is it's played out. It's played out. You know what Greg Roman's going to do. He's going to get this running quarterback and completely revolutionize your run game. And he's going to be pretty darn good at it, too. But that wears off because once you get to the playoffs, you can't pass the ball to win.
And he's also going to incorporate the most basic routes for your receiver.
Because of his system, where it's really run-focused, then you get guys who don't want to go to Baltimore on the receiver end. Yeah, you haven't really been the best at drafting them, with Rashad Bateman being pretty mediocre, and Hollywood wanted out. Hollywood wanted out because he wasn't getting the ball enough because of that system. Dudes don't want to show up and play for your team when they're not going to be getting the ball and hitting those incentives in their contracts. So depending on who they get as their coordinator, we could be seeing a really revolutionized Ravens team finally with Lamar, who is a very capable passer. There's this whole joke of, oh, he's a running back, but Lamar can sling it. So I think that the Ravens, depending on what they do this offseason, could be scary next year because they're still going to be able to play that hard-nosed defensive football that they do now, except also be able to win those shootouts.
If the Ravens do what they should do.
If Lamar is back, I would add.
Yeah, if the Ravens do what they should do in making Lamar Jackson the priority of their franchise, then they will be good in the future. Maybe possibly even great, like you said. If they let him go, I can't see the Ravens being serious unless they find somewhere another elite quarterback, which they're not going to. It's so hard to find an elite quarterback, and letting Lamar Jackson go, just letting him go to a different team, is not an option.
No, they're not going to do that. They would tag and trade him for two or three firsts.
I know, and that still, to me, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't think you're finding the same value in three first-round picks. Even if you hit on one of them, Lamar Jackson is a generational talent, so... Yeah. That's just to me, but I think they're keeping him, and I think they'll find a way to make the relationship a little bit better. Moving on, though, we'll talk about Lamar plenty this offseason, I'm sure. We have the last game, which is maybe probably the most lopsided game of this wild card, which was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you've been listening, which you better have, you know that especially Alex has talked about how bad this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is. And boy, were we correct on this, both of us, because I agreed with you full way. We talked about how Byron Leftwich and the offense is horrible, can't move the ball. We talked about how the defense hasn't been as good as it should be on paper. And this all just really showed up in this game. Dallas just massacred the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you look at the final scores, 31-14. It really wasn't that close. Those 14 points came at the end of the game when Dallas was taking a nap and kind of relaxing. And the craziest thing about this game, Tom Brady threw a career high pass attempts, 66. This is the most he's ever thrown in a game. And yeah, he threw for 351 yards. But if you watch that game, you know that Tom Brady was awful. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have much help around him. Things were not going well, but he was making bad decisions. He was throwing the ball where it shouldn't have been thrown. Awful pick in the red zone and just was not looking like the Tom Brady, like the GOAT that we know he is. So, yeah, Tom Brady, definitely disappointing game. And on the flip side, Dak Prescott, 305 yards, four touchdowns. He was the best quarterback.
He put one on the ground, too.
He did have one on the ground. Correct. Good. Thank you for saying that. I probably would have forgot. Dak had an incredible game, five total touchdowns. He was pretty much perfect as a passer. And then on the ground, Zeke was not very effective, 13 rushes for 27 yards. But Pollard had 77 on the ground. Having those two in and out tired the defense out, which helped a lot. And Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb do what they always do. They were great, very dependable. Defense also played very well. I mean, they shut Tampa Bay out pretty much until the fourth quarter, or I believe the end of the third. So it was just a very lopsided game. I'm surprised people had Tampa winning this one. I mean, I get it, but like, come on. You know, Byron Leftwich got fired after this one too, which I think is very justified. The Bucs.
He shouldn't have been the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't know if others will.
Especially knowing you're going to lose Tom Brady.
Yep.
Why would you not nuke the whole coaching staff?
The fact that they just underplayed the whole season, you know, making the playoffs at 8-9, come on. Come on. Like,
yeah, absolute disaster of a season. Dak played probably the best game of his career. So I have nothing but praise for Dallas. They had an incredible game and looked every bit of a contender as the Niners or whatever team you want to pick. They had an awesome game. I don't know that they'll be able to replicate that again because Tampa, if we're being honest, wasn't a real playoff team.
Yeah.
Literal negative record, but just a sad season from Tampa. Their offensive line stunk. Their running back stunk. Their pass game stunk. Their defense, mediocre at best. Just awful all around. And Brady is not blameless. Brady didn't have the best season at all. Yeah, you can argue his play calling was terrible, which it was. But just no one did their job this season. Awful season. I think everyone should be canned on that coaching staff. And just, I'm glad that we don't have to watch anymore Tampa.
Yeah, I think it's time for Tampa to rebuild. I really think it is. But Yeah, enough about Tampa. I'm tired of talking about Brady and all that. Let's move on to the divisional round games. Since we already went through the wildcard games, you got a pretty good sense about how we feel about most of these teams. These divisional round matchups are pretty crazy, but we should just get them out pretty quick for you. First one up and the first game, which I'm excited to see, is the Jaguars versus the Chiefs. We already kind of touched on this. The Jaguars are hot. The Chiefs have the MVP, or soon to be MVP, Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs are what a lot of people think are a modern day dynasty and will be a modern day dynasty. That being said, I still have the Chiefs. I'm not saying I have the Jaguars. I have the Chiefs in this one. And what it comes down to, the Chiefs are just the better team. Mahomes is the better quarterback. And Jacksonville is not going to get away with the 4 or 5 turnover game against the Chiefs, like what they did against the Chargers. It's not happening. I do see a scenario where this is an upset, but I still like the Chiefs in this one, and I think that they will win probably by a touchdown or maybe 10 points. Who knows? But yeah, I have the Chiefs.
I'm with you. I think that this past week could have been the Jaguars Super Bowl. I'm not saying it is. They could come out and play hard, but there's just a big talent disparity between the two teams, in my opinion. It's even at quarterback, which is where the Jags are arguably the strongest, you know, for their team. There's just such a big disparity between Mahomes and Lawrence at this point in their careers. And it would take a special kind of collapse for the Chiefs to lose to this team, which I could see happening maybe if they come out flat because they've had a week off, you know, the one seed to come out not respecting their opponent because they're the like bad division winner. I could see a crazy upset happening, but I'm not predicting it by any means.
Yeah, no, I just don't think it's happening. And moving on to the next game, which is one that's near and dear to our hearts as Eagles fans, Eagles versus Giants. We already touched on this. I have the Eagles. We've played them twice this season. We beat them both times. The Giants are great. They've been playing great. I think that they have a good future. Dable is coach of the year. Hats off to him. He's been incredible. He's transformed this team.
Best fat guy in New York since Biggie.
Oh, my Lord. I can't believe you just said that.
Or Rex Ryan.
Anyway, though, this should be an Eagles win. I think the Eagles will win by a touchdown or two. I know they've had a week off. I know a lot of people are calling this as an upset just because they want to be different and want to see an upset. But come on, the Eagles were the best team in the first half of the season, and they're going to carry that momentum with a great defense and a very balanced offense into the NFC Championship game.
I think it could get a little screwy because it's a divisional game, as in NFC East, not divisional round, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see another talent disparity between these two teams. The Giants have some great players on defense and a couple good ones on offense too. But the Eagles dominated them earlier in the season. They were missing some defensive starters. I don't think they had McKinney. They might not have had Lawrence, although I'm not entirely sure about that. But it was just a complete dismantling of the Giants. And yeah, you can say the Eagles with Jalen Hurts barely beat them in the last week of the season, blah, 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 against the Giants backups. But the Eagles weren't running anything real to preserve their quarterback and, you know, maybe not reveal anything about their offense against the team they maybe knew they'd be seeing in the postseason. So I can't see the Giants winning. I'm a little more worried than I was before, but I still can't see it. Next, we have the game that we've alluded to before. It's the Bengals versus the Bills in Buffalo. And I said that I don't like the Bills, and I think they're a worse team than the Bengals. But the key thing to remember about this game, Alex Kappa is out. Jonah Williams is out. Lael Collins blew his knee out a couple weeks ago. That means the Bengals are down 3 starters on their offensive line. And that's a tough blow to come back from. I think that because of that, the Bills, since there's not a huge gap between these two teams, those offensive line injuries are going to be killer to Cincinnati, and their offense isn't going to be able to get going the way it normally would. And I think that that will allow the Bills at home to propel themselves over the Bengals.
I already kind of said what I think is going to happen. I have the Bengals in this one. It's going to be so close. I think I could be wrong, but I think just the Bengals play up and down to their opponents, and the Bills I have as the better team. But we see what Burrow and this offense can do in the playoffs. I really think that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be an issue here. Even though the Bills have a pretty good secondary, they just it's impossible to guard T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and stop Joe Mixon on the ground. It's going to be a tough matchup, but I like the Bengals defense. I think they'll get some stops on Josh Allen and the Bills. I think this one will be a lower scoring game than a lot of people will think it will be. But that being said, I have the Bengals, and I have them moving on to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs.
And with our final game of the divisional round, we have the aforementioned Cowboys versus the Niners in Santa Clara. Yeah. And I don't see Dallas winning. Even if they play the same way they did against Tampa, it would take a really, really bad Niners performance. Or even just Brock Purdy coming down to earth and playing like Mr. Irrelevant. I think that if that happens, we could see a Dallas victory. Is that likely? To me, no. But hypothetically, I could see it happening. And then Dallas would have to get another Dak versus Tampa performance. But that's a lot of ifs. And that means I'm picking the Niners to win and come to Philly.
Yeah, the only changeup I have is I have the Cowboys winning this one.
Wow.
That's the only difference I have with my bracket. And what it comes down to is, like I said, Brock Purdy, I think, still has some issues. I think, you know, magic fortune ball. I predict Brock Purdy to throw at least one pick, at least one turnover. And I think that Cowboys defense is coming to play. We've seen social media. They're hyped up for this rematch. It was a very close game last year. Dallas was the better team, but they managed the clock poorly. Didn't get started early enough.
Did they play each other last year?
They did. Dallas lost. Remember the infamous Dak slide? Dak ran a little bit too far.
Yeah, I don't remember that being against San Francisco.
Anyway. This was the wild card, and then San Francisco went and played Green Bay next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's a rematch. You know, both teams, this is a classic matchup. You got Troy Aikman, you got Steve Young. But at the end of the day, I like the Cowboys. They impressed me so much in that Bucs game. So much so that I think that they're going to go out and win this one too. Really, I think it's going to be close, obviously. Everyone has the Niners winning this one. But the Cowboys, when they're at their best, are one of the best teams in the league, as much as I hate to say it as an Eagles fan.
True story.
And yeah, I think that the Cowboys defense is just going to play pretty well, get to Purdy a little bit, cause, like I said, a turnover, and their offense is going to stay hot. I think they're going to get stopped a little bit, but I see like a 28-21 or 24 victory for the Cowboys. So that means that I have a Cowboys-Eagles NFC Championship game, which is crazy, and I'm not changing my Super Bowl pick. Still have Chiefs-Eagles, and I still have the Chiefs winning. So, yeah.
I have Chiefs-Eagles actually too, because as I said about the Bills, I don't like them a lot. But I still have the Eagles winning.
That's fair. I love hearing the Eagles winning, you know. Be great.
Yeah, next week we'll be back with our recap on these games that we just predicted and then our conference championship predictions.
Yeah, I think we're going to go more into depth on the next games because there's only four of them. So we could really babble about those ones if we want to. These ones we kind of, you know, wanted to just get you the cut and dry stuff, what happened, you know, what's going to happen. And yeah, you know, perfect. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you watched the wildcard games. If you didn't, maybe listening to us gave you some knowledge about them. So that's great. And yeah, these are going to be fun games. Hope you enjoyed. Bye-bye.